And now, 88.9 WDCR brings you The Cradle and the Convert, a conversation about local issues with a Catholic perspective. Join your hosts, Dave Slade and Mark Barthelemy, and join the conversation.
Good evening. It's Tuesday already. It's hard to believe. Last week we missed a show because Relevant Radio was having their fall fun drive, and we didn't want to get in the middle of that and cause them to miss an hour of talking to people that were donating to Relevant Radio. And I think we mentioned the week before, Mark, that Relevant Radio gives us some of their money that they raise during their fun drives, and they send it right here to the local
community. Yeah, hence
radios.
We don't interrupt their fun drive for right. that very
so,
reason. Yeah.
So here we are back. I'm Dave Slade, your Cradle Catholic.
And I'm Mark Barthelemy, the convert.
And in the studio tonight, we have a very special guest. We have the chaplain and the CEO of St. Mary's Hospital. No, he's not really the CEO, but he could be, I think. Father Nick Hussein. And Father Nick is just, he's one of the greatest guys you ever meet.
Oh, my God.
He is a wonderful guy. Father Nick, welcome to the show. We're so glad you could make some time to be with us this evening. It is unbelievable how busy you are around
Indeed.
This hospital.
Good evening. And sure, thank you so much. It's nice to be here with you guys. So thank you so much. When you started to say CEO, I started to feel like I need to step out here. I'm in the wrong place and the wrong plan.
I saw the sweat popping out on your brow there.
Oh, my God, yeah, yeah.
It's not like you don't have your hands full already.
Yeah, I tell you. And for a Filipino, it doesn't take much to sweat. Okay, so.
Well, and you know, with it being fall, you never know what the temperature is going to be outside. And the hospital feels pretty warm this evening.
Yes, it does.
It's pretty warm in here. Father, you wear a lot of hats around this hospital, and we just wanted to find out a little bit about you, about what spiritual care and mission integration does here at St. Mary's, the programs that you manage, and then just get to know you a little bit. We know you were born in the Philippines, and that somehow God led you here to Decatur, Illinois, and I know a lot of people out there would love to hear that story.
Yes, I was born and raised in the Philippines. I like to say born and raised because I used to say born and I grew up in the Philippines. But when you look at me, it's like, I really didn't grow up. I was born and raised in the Philippines. And I went to the seminary there when I, in my minor seminary, and I finished my philosophy in the seminary in my home diocese. And after that, I went to the theology seminary also in the Philippines, but in the seminary, one of the regional seminaries up north in the Philippines. And I was ordained in 1985, and about 7 years from after my ordination, I was serving back home in the Philippines. And I didn't come to the United States until about 1990. The first reason I came here was I was doing mission appeals for my parochial high school in my parish back in my home diocese, where I was also the director. And we renovated the school, and when I ran out of funds, I decided to ask my bishop to come to the United States to do mission appeals. And I also wrote some letters of appeal for funding from Germany. At the time, Germany was helping out developing countries, and one of them is the Philippines, for any charitable projects, for any religious projects. And so my project in the parish qualified for that. And so between that and the mission appeals here in the United States, we were able to finish that project, which was a little bit over half a million pesos.
Now, did you travel all over the country doing this?
Yes.
From sea to shining sea, so to speak?
Yes. I went to, I think I was able to go to about maybe 11 states at the time. But anyway, while I was doing that, and then I was able to, I went home in 5 months. So that was December that I went home of that year. But there was something that I experienced when I was coming here that I just appealed to my interest. And so when I went home to my bishop, to my diocese, I talked to my bishop and I said, "Bishop, when I was in the United States, there was something that just attracted my attention, but I could not identify what it was." And so anyway, cut story short, my bishop asked me and said, "So what would you like to do?" And he said, "I would like to go back if you would allow me. And let's just say, give me 3 years. I just wanted to really explore and discover and identify what that was, because it was really so outstanding to me." Anyway, cut story short, he agreed. And so I came back here in 91. And what I realized, what I was able to identify when I came back, was that I was really caught in my attention in regards the level of diversity and multicultural diversity, mm-hmm. and multi-religious culture and that I found in the United States. The reason I believe it stood out to me is because in the Philippines is a very homogeneous country, is a very homogeneous culture. It's like 99.99% of the people you see there are born and raised there.
Well, and I read too that 8 out of 10 are Catholics.
Yes, as a matter of fact, that the last census that I, the last data information I have is that we're 87% Catholic, not only Christian but Catholic.
Wow. So that would be quite a difference.
It is, and so like I say, it's 87%. Even the birds in the Philippines, they are Catholics. Yeah, I think so, because they nest and they stay, get their nests in the Catholic Church. You know,
yeah, well, how about that?
Yeah, I know. So if you go there, that's another reason why a lot of people wear veils there, because not only that is also very reverent, but at least it can protect you from something that can fall down.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
but anyway, no, kidding aside. And so that's how I started, and then after 3 years, I came home, and well, by the time we had another bishop that came to my diocese, because the bishop that permitted me to come, he decided that he would retire. And so I went home during the installation of the succeeding bishop, and I mentioned to him that that's why I was here. And so depending on where he wants, and he said, "No, what are you? Are you fulfilled? Are you happy in your ministry there?" And said, at the time, I already started to go into my CPE, which is the clinical pastoral education, which is the formal training and formation for chaplains. And I already started my first unit. And as a matter of fact, I think I already started at the time my internship at the Memorial Medical Center in New Orleans in Louisiana.
Mm.
And so the bishop said, "Well, it sounds like you are happy with what you're doing. So that's fine if you want to continue that. Just keep me posted, and that's something that you can bring back here someday when you know." And so that's still part of the whole plan.
Well, that's very generous of the bishop to allow you to come back. Are the vocations in the Philippines at a high level? Are there a lot of priests?
Fortunately, yes, we do. We do. Okay. We're so blessed with a lot of vocations. Well, that doesn't mean that we have surplus, but we're so blessed with a lot of ordinations. As a matter of fact, in my home diocese alone, we're probably one of the, if not the, youngest diocese in the whole country. I'm 56 years old, and I am probably senior to a good 80%
of our
clergy.
That's great.
To look at it, yeah. And I'm happy to share that back home, in my home diocese at least alone, we are dividing parishes into quasi parishes and building that from quasi parish into becoming a real a standalone parish because we have vocations that really and let alone we really need parish in parishes to be smaller so that we can minister to the better and more to the people. But so we're blessed in that regard, and it is very common in many parishes in my home diocese that we have multiple priests assigned.
Wow.
Like in my home parish alone, there is a pastor, there is an associate pastor, or called the vicar, parochial vicar, and there's another priest who is the director of the high school, the parochial high school, and there's another priest who is the director of the college institution that is in my home parish. And so there are four of them based in that parish, and there's a number of parishes over there that we have we're blessed in that, and it's a growing faith there, and so we're really blessed in that regard.
Okay, I'm going to take a break here and hear from our friends at Catholics Come Home. And when we come back on the other side, Father, I want you to tell us how you ended up in Decatur and tell us a little bit about your position here as the Director of Spiritual Care and Mission Integration.
For 2,000 years, we've helped the poor and comforted the sick. We've educated generations of children, developed the scientific method and college system. We support marriage and human life. Guided by the Holy Spirit, we compiled the Bible. We are the Catholic Church, with over 1 billion in our family, sharing in the fullness of Christian faith in the church started by Jesus. If you've been away, visit CatholicsComeHome.org today. Welcome home.
Okay, we're back here on The Cradle and the Convert on this Tuesday evening, and in the studios with us, we have a special guest, Father Nick Hussein. And Father Nick, tell us a little bit about how you ended up here in the Pride of the Prairie, Decatur, Illinois, and just what you do as the Director of Spiritual Care and Mission Integration.
All right. Thanks again, Dave. I've been to a number of places, and since I finished my internship in clinical pastoral education and I applied for national board certification as a chaplain, my ministry has brought me into different places and different states, but all within healthcare ministry. So from New Orleans, after I finished my internship, there was a full-time position for a full-time chaplain in Pontiac in Michigan, and where I stayed there as a full-time chaplain, priest chaplain, for 3 years. Shortly after that, they decided that they would downsize their department, and so I decided that I would take the cut down, because the other option was one of the ministers, one of the chaplains in the area who was also a minister, and he was the sole bread earner for the family, and he would have been the one to go and be affected by the downsizing. So, I'm on my own, and it was easier to find another place that looks for a priest chaplain, which at the time I found. So I moved from that hospital to a hospital in Marshfield in Wisconsin. And I was there for a little over 8 years. And while I was there, I ran into a number of occasions wherein I ministered to patients who tell me that they don't come from home, but they come from a managed home. And I had no understanding about it because I came to realize that those are patients that come not from their own residence, but they come from either a nursing home, a retirement home, and I didn't have understanding on that one because back home we don't have nursing homes in the Philippines.
Family tends for their
family. Yes, our patients, as soon as they walk past that stage we're in, you know, they are, you know, there's not much that cure can be done, but they are more in terms of how they can cope with their symptoms and whatever until they finally make their own final change from traversing from this world of the visible into the invisible world, if I may use that analogy. Then they go back to the family, and the family, they go back to their homes, and family takes care of them. As a matter of fact, my mom, who had Parkinson, and she fell, and we could not do surgery on her because of lack of many things. But so she stayed home for she was bedridden for over 16 years.
Oh, and my gosh!
Her family was taking care of that. Now, is that it doesn't say anything else other than that. We don't have any of that facility.
So the concept was new to you.
Oh, very, very new. And there were times when I had a hard time kind of really ministering to patients. And so that's when I decided that I would explore a possibility that I could minister in a full-time capacity in a long-term care. And that's when I ended up in one of the long-term care facilities in the Chicago area, run by the Franciscan Sisters of Chicago. And I was there over 3 years. And at the time, I started to also feel that I got disengaged with my passion for healthcare ethics. And when I was in Marshfield, I finished my degree in ethics, my graduate degree in ethics, and my certificate in healthcare ethics. And so I was looking for a way that I could go back into the acute healthcare setting, and that's when I was led to the ministry of the St. Mary's Hospital with HSHS here at St. Mary in Decatur. And they were looking for a full-time director of spiritual care and mission integration. And what it does really is, part of my role is to oversee the spiritual care, the chaplaincy department, and to make sure that we're able to meet the spiritual needs of patients and their families and also our fellow colleagues. By the way, here at St. Mary's and throughout HSHS, we don't call our employees. We call them colleagues, and which is really nice because it gives us a sense of really that's what we are, that we're not here as employees, but we're here really as colleagues, meaning our fellow ministry. We are all fellow ministers here. And so that's the value.
Well, I'm sure that's the way St. Francis would have wanted it, too.
I would agree.
Without the titles and the positions of colleagues.
Yeah, and it's nice to know that that you are in an organization that considers security, housekeeping, maintenance, physicians, nurses, and the CEO as colleagues,
right.
And to be
that's
able
good.
To do
that. Well, in the remaining few minutes we have, Father, one of the things that I'm interested in is I know you guys take care of advanced directives here at the hospital. Can you tell me a little bit about what that is?
Yes, advanced directives is a document that is being used by patients to indicate what their wishes are when time comes when they are not able to do that actively for some reason. Either they are in a serious illness, or when they are sedated, and or maybe even when they are terminally ill. But that's the document that is being used to identify what their wishes are, so that when that time comes, families and all caregivers are able to follow the wishes of the patients the way they want it. And so our chaplains here, that is part of what we do here at St. Mary's and actually all throughout HSHS, that we facilitate the conversation and also even filling out the actual document with the patients and their families and other colleagues, so that that will be in place.
Is that something you have to do every time you're admitted to the hospital, or is one good for...
That is really the recommendation. We recommend that every patient, when they come in to the hospital, we would renew that. We will review that with them, because sometimes they wanted to make changes, but then and we want to make sure that everybody is in the same page in those changes. Mm-hmm. And many times there haven't been changes, but at least we know that at this being currently reviewed and most recently reviewed, and so that's good to go.
And sometimes the advanced directives, Father, I think some people refer to them as a living will or a power of attorney over medical care.
Yes, actually, advanced directives is the common umbrella.
Yes.
The advanced directives, there are three documents that are there: the living will, mm-hmm. the durable power of attorney for health care, mm-hmm. and then also there is part there which is called the DNR, the do not resuscitate.
Yes.
And that is one part that patients also would like to indicate, that if time comes when there is nothing that can be done in order to for them to restore them into the quality of life that they would allow the natural process of dying,
yes.
To take place, not to hasten their dying process, but to allow the natural process to take place. Now, incidentally, this is very important that I would like to highlight, that we chaplains, we don't go through the DNR process. We talk to patients about what is DNR and what it means to go to put together that. But the DNR, the actual DNR, has to go through the physician, because DNR needs a physician order.
I see.
Before it gets in, before it takes into effect. So
well,
that's
Mark, it sounds like we could do a whole show
on
advanced directives, and I think that's something that our listeners really need to know about. They need to think about that as they get older,
yeah.
and as they have different circumstances changing up on them. One last thing I want to ask you about, Father, in the remaining minute and a half. Your 30th anniversary of priesthood is coming up next month. Can you just tell us briefly what's going to happen about that?
I'm so excited about that. And this year I celebrate my 30th ordination anniversary, which is going to be on December 21. But I'll be in the Philippines at the time. So on the 3rd of December, that's a Thursday, at 11:30 Mass here at St. Mary's, that Mass will be offered as a thanksgiving for the 30 years that God has allowed me to minister in His vineyard. And so we invite those who come to also share that gratitude and that joy in my ministry. And I particularly ask that to those who would like to give gifts on that occasion, but instead of giving it to me, I would request that those donations will be given to for the purpose of our restoration project for our church back in my home parish that was totally damaged by that severe earthquake that took place in 2013, I believe. And so since I'm going home, so I can bring that gift from the people to my home parish and to tell them that the people around the world, across this continent, wide world, are are drawn very closely because of our need, and that we can be grateful of that gift as well. So that's what I ask.
That's great.
That, so the people who would come and join, I ask that, again, as a gift for in Thanksgiving to this 30 years that I have, to make that donation to the St. Isidore Alternate Church Project back in my home parish, and we would be so happy to.
St. Isidore Alternate Church Project.
Yes.
We're out of time for this evening. Father, before we go, we want to thank you. Could you close for us with a prayer, please, and a blessing?
I would be honored. So gracious God, as we come together, and we're just so grateful with the gift of time, and most of all, the gift of you letting us be part of your ministry. So I want to thank you, God, for this time. And may all those who hear us in this very brief conversation will always be inspired, knowing that you are a God who are always there for each of us, your beloved children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of The Cradle and the Convert.
Thanks a lot, Father. It was great to see you again.
Thank you for having me.
We'll be with you next Tuesday, and I think we're going to be up in the lobby here at St. Mary's doing a Thanksgiving show. So until then, folks, we'll see you later. The Cradle and the Convert is a production of WDCR, Decatur Catholic Radio.